on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, very good evening to you all, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Orient Hour. I'm Andy Gilson. I'm going to be passing over straight away to a recording from Billy Herring and the Gang, recorded by Zoom yesterday. So you do get a little bit of electronic noises now and then with Zoom, and it might be a little delay in the answer, just to explain what we're doing while the COVID restrictions are in place in the studio. So over to Billy and the Gang.
Welcome to the Orient Hour. I'm Billy Herring. I'll be your host for tonight's show. And it's a packed show. We've got lots of guests on today. We are joined by regular panelists Barry Galvin and Darren Burrows. Barry, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Billy, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good. You have the privilege of being at the games, although privilege right now might not be the right word.
You use that word. No, I do appreciate that. I'm, you know, very fortunate to be able to see all of the games this year. I say I'm in a fortunate position. Obviously, we'll come on to where we are later on. But yeah, I've been at all of the games because the players need to know how many extra minutes the fourth official has indicated, don't they?
Of course, there you go. Darren, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. This is the first time in my life I've been jealous of Barry Galvin being
at all times. Not the last, Darren.
I'm sure it won't be
better. And we're joined by Christian Wheeler today. Christian, how are you?
Well, good, thank you.
Yeah, Orient fans, some people may know you, some people may not. What stand you sit in, Christian? Who's your favourite player, etc.?
I sit in the south stand, and I'd say my favourite player was Joby Mekanoff, but that could be a contentious decision right now. So I'd say favourite player, Joby Mekanoff. This just leaves the rest for a bit later on, I think.
Okay, fair enough. And we're lucky tonight to be joined by two Orient legends, Dean Cox. Dean, how are you today?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Cheers, yeah.
Excellent. And Adrian Whitbread, for those of an older age generation, shall we say, AD. I remember you playing, so how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, a lot more greyer in lockdown and the hair's grown a lot more. So, yeah, all good, thanks, guys.
Lovely. Listen, Dean, we'll come across to you first. So, obviously, you know, you played for the Orient for a long time, and then you left us during the Bichetti era. Unfortunately, most of us would say at the time, obviously, you know, we were sad to see you go. For those Orient fans that aren't aware of what you've been up to since you left the O's, could you just fill us in, give us a little bit of info?
Yeah, basically, obviously left or joined Eastbourne Borough Football Club. Become a foster parent to two young boys.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, hard work, but yeah, it's always something that the wife wanted to do, so we've gone on to do that. And yeah, currently now just looking to get my coaching badges, doing my UEFA B this summer. Yeah, looking to go on that sort of route, really, get coaching and yeah, get back in the game, really, because I miss it.
And you were saying that, obviously, you know, you're playing in the National League South at the moment, and it's been, as of February, it was cancelled, so you've got a lot of free time on your hand. How do you occupy yourself? You know, what do you do? Obviously, as someone who's probably used to keeping fit and playing football every day, what do you do?
Yeah, it's difficult at the moment. I think, yeah, like I said, I'm trying to get those coaching badges as quick as possible. And, you know, for me, just to join any football club, not really, you know, bothered about the level at all. I just want to get in and share my sort of experiences that I've, you know, managed to have in my playing career, really. A bit easier said than done. It's not easy, but that's the route I'm sort of looking to try and get down to be honest.
Well, I mean, that's a nice segue into what Adrian's doing at the moment, because I see, Adrian, you're busy working in this country. You were in America, you've now come back. And so tell us a little bit about what's going on with you at the moment.
Yeah, when I came back, it was a question of, what am I going to do now? You know, even though we had an academy based out in Jacksonville, Florida, that's now taking on, hopefully going across to Cyprus, so they're keeping it more European. But I've obviously been in contact with a woman called Hayley Smith, who runs Campione Soccer Academy here in the UK and overseas. She does holiday camps for children and families overseas. And I'm at during the first lockdown when we came out of it, and I was doing small groups, and I'd already had in mind about opening up, not so much my own academy, but really running elite football clinics. And what I mean by that is that basically younger players today go and train, but they train as a team environment and not as individuals. So I just felt that there's a little niche in the market to open it up to boys and girls that want to come along and practice. But, you know, there's specific topics that when they come training, they learn. You know, they probably go out and practice and just do the same thing every time. And, we have this thing, you know, repetition. So we've been on and off through it. But obviously now with this period of lockdown coming out now at the end of this month, we've got a two-week holiday camp, Easter camp for the kids to come along. I think the second week we're already up to 100 kids, so we're
great.
Advertising the first. That's at in the Grange at Debden Park, and subject to coming out of lockdown and people being able to go overseas, you know, she's got some exciting holiday destinations: Portugal, Croatia. There may be one in out towards Asia, Middle East. So, you know, there's lots going on. And but in the meantime, you know, I was just listening to what Dean's up to. I mean, that's fantastic. Myself, I've been actually helping disabled children get to and from school at the moment. So, you know, that's pretty rewarding in doing that. You know, it's a little bit monotonous with the driving, but, you know, when there was something to be done and obviously there's no football really to go and do anything, it was, you know, I turned my hand to that.
Wow, that sounds really rewarding, and yeah, fair play to you. Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, it's as a parent, I mean, I'm not a parent myself, but you know, as a parent with able children, you know, it's we're a handful at the best of times, and you know, these parents are fantastic people. You know, the parents that I've met through the disabled children, you know, they've got so much love, an unconditional love towards these children. It's fantastic to see.
I think that's possibly one of the positives that's come out of this, the whole lockdown situation, is seeing people and communities pull together to a certain extent and help each other out and do things like that you're doing, which is fantastic. Christian, you mentioned to us off air earlier on that you do a bit of scouting as well. How's that going in whilst we're in this sort of situation? Obviously, is it something that can still happen or is it just kind of been put on the head really?
They try and make it as hard as possible for it to not to happen, but I actually went to watch Southend under 23s play Crawley today. I think they played a Crawley development team. I live in Neon Sea. It was down the road in Southend. I actually walked around the back, down the side park, put my old trainers on and watched the game.
You've not borrowed Julian's ladder, have you?
No. I did get told off for going in the official way. That's and got sent around the back. And but I managed to watch an hour. Advise a couple of teams in the Nordics, specifically a team in the Premier League in Iceland. I won't go into names and details, but looking at a couple of lads to get over there. Season starts end of April, so I sent a couple of boys over this summer. Got a couple more boys to go. I look after a team called Statnam. They come third in the Icelandic Premier League last year. They'll be in Europa qualifying again this year. So just keep an eye on a few boys and speak to. I've got 10 agents that are either friends or people that I've worked with and trusted in the past that I speak to. And then, just seeing what's out there, really. Obviously, it's a bit of a difficult time. Obviously, you asked Dean about Conference South. At the minute, a lot of Div 2 boys don't really know what they're doing. Conference is a bit up in the air. So at the moment, I'd say Conference South is sort of the level that I'm having conversations with people. I'd say the top four or five teams is probably national standard over here. I'd say the middle to the bottom is Conference South, maybe bottom half of the National League. So it's an area that I'm looking at. But yeah, I think it was 4-1, 5-1 today to Southend. I would say the standard wasn't that great, but at the minute it's just nice to get out and watch any games really.
Yeah, I mean, any boys over there in the Nordic leagues that you'd recommend to the Orient at all? I remember, was it Bjorn Heidenstrom, right, saying that used to play for the Orient years ago?
I won't, I won't drop anyone here. I recommended a lad. As I say, I've been working on getting a partnership with Orient for about the last year. I was due to take Martin and Ross over to Iceland in the summer. Obviously, COVID hit. Put on the back burners. They then had the link up with Hartford, which obviously, given Nigel's location, you know, made sense. Being honest, not sure. You know, maybe Adrian can talk to it as well. But I played in the USL with America for 4 years, and from a football perspective, you know, it probably doesn't make sense. You're not going to get many boys out there for location, money, time. Obviously, getting American boys over to the UK, there's a lot of restrictions around work permits. So my angle with the Icelandic team was it makes more sense. They play in a summer league. You know, there was conversations about sending some boys out there this summer on loan. Right. Obviously, tie up, getting there, better boys. I don't know how much you know about Icelandic football, but it's very much an untapped market, but it's an endless conveyor belt. I'd say in the last month alone, they've sent kids to Honved, Alkmaar, Ajax. Obviously, over, I don't know how much you know, you've watched, but they call them football halls over there. It's basically an indoor pitch and stadium, you know, that allows them to train every day, you know, 12 months of the year. So there was a boy that I actually recommended to the Orient. I recommended to the Cowleys, old teammates of mine. They were at Huddersfield at the time. And a few other clubs, no one really took the bite. And the for about a month ago, he went to one of the top teams in Norway for $750,000. So this boy, the good thing about Iceland, if you're good enough, you're in the first team at 15, 16. So this boy had played in the first team for 4 years. He's played every age group for Iceland. He's now broke into the national team. You know, he's had that exposure of European football at a young age. So for me, it's very much an untapped market. And because of their island mentality and some of the sort of conditions that they grow up in, you know, they've got an unbelievable mentality to do well. So it's a very good market.
So, well, I mean, it sounds like something the Orient should be jumping at. So fingers crossed, touch wood, you know, that it happens.
They've actually got an official Leighton Orient supporters club in Iceland, believe it or not. So there is a commercial point of view that I put to the club as well. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, with Ross leaving, that's not it's not top of their priorities at the moment. But I'm sure it's something we'll revisit down the line.
Do you know what? I did know that, and the way I knew that is because when we played in the playoff final at Wembley, I met a load of them in the pub. And I've got a great photo of me and these three Icelandic geezers all in Orient kits outside the wooden shades it was. So anyway, fantastic. Right, I think we need to dive into the Inter Saturday's game. It won't live long in the memory, so let's go through it. So we started with the same formation from Tuesday night, which was Lawrence Figaro, James Brophy, Sam Ling, Jamie Turley, Daniel Happy, Nick Freeman, Connor Wilkinson, Dan Kemp, Craig Clay, Usise, Tristan Abrahams. What do we think of the starting lineups, everybody? Barry, I'll come to you first.
I think, as in most people, I was quite surprised that the lineup was unchanged. Simply because, I mean, you mentioned those names and I don't think there's a bad player amongst them. You know, individually, you look at the talent there and there's some really good players. I really don't think we've got a bad squad. But I was surprised that the lineup was unchanged in respect of how few chances we created in the previous match, the 0-0. So I thought something else might be tried. So, yeah, I was a tad surprised there was no changes, and because it didn't set. We did create more. In the 0-0 draw, but we had a lot of the ball. We created a few chances, but Danny Johnson or Tristan Abrahams still looked isolated up front, and I thought he may have gone maybe to a 3-5-2, or you know, to put someone alongside Johnson. And it was a rather frustrating night. We went behind to the first attack that Scunthorpe could muster, which is typical of Orient, isn't it? We all know that.
At the moment, but,
yeah. And we were, you know, against the run-up play, we were behind. Yes, we got the equaliser. It was a fantastic dead ball, which you can't be said a lot this season. We haven't put that many good dead balls in. Great dead ball in for Dan Kemp, and Cissé couldn't really miss them there, and thankfully he didn't. But overall, if you look at the stats, did we trouble their keeper enough? Not really. it's all a bit frustrating at the moment. I'm not, you know, I try to be on the positive side of realistic when assessing Orient. You know, I'm not one of these doom and gloom merchants, nor am I saying that, you know, nothing can be improved, because it can. But it's just something, I don't think we're as good as the sum of our parts at the moment. I can't tell you why that is, but I would be tinkering with the personnel and trying different formations if I were in Joby's position. And I've got a lot of respect for Joby. He's a great guy. And he's, you know, he obviously is a great footballer, which we're missing on the park, I do believe. I really do. I don't recall ever another team having their best player all of a sudden become manager. I don't recall that ever happening to anybody else that I can remember. And I think it has detracted from our on-field performances. But yeah, frustrating evening. As I said, I'm not down in the dumps. I don't think it's the end of the world, nor do I think that it's particularly good enough and we can improve.
Darren, coming across to you.
Well, the only thing I can really add to that is I'm beginning to think, and I'd be interested to see what Adrian, Christian and Dean say about this, but I'm beginning to think that the players are more interested in their Opta stats, because the amount of passing between each other at the back and playing safe was boring to watch, predictable for the opposition to manage. And frankly, at the moment, the team reminds me of Einstein's theory of trying to do the same thing and expecting different results. So, you know, something's got to change, guys, because ultimately, if we continue down this vein, we are going to be having a real rubbish end to the season, which no one wants. Whatever we're doing off the park, I'm afraid it's played on the park, and the fans, frankly, had enough, haven't they? Let's be honest. We're seeing pretty much pelters now on social media, which is a shame. It's a shame because there's so much good going off the club, Billy, that it's a crying shame.
Do you think part of the issue with social media is that we're not actually in the ground? So, like, you know, usually you'd see a poor performance, you'd come out of the ground, you'd go to the supporters club, you'd have a moan about it, we'd get it all off our chest, then we go home, we forget about it almost. But we don't have the opportunity to do that, so it has to come out through social media. Do you think that's part of the problem?
Maybe a little bit more. I think we've been on bad runs before, haven't we? We've been through some terrible eras, and social media was awash with criticism then. I think most people are fairly fair. You get the odd one or two. But are we seeing a bit more? Probably a bit more during the game, Billy, and a bit more immediately after the game, because we're not all rushing to the bar to get the round in. Well, Barry doesn't anyway, so...
I've only got myself to blame for, right?
I think there's a little bit more of it, Billy, yeah. A little bit more of it.
Dean, obviously, I mean, Barry made an interesting point earlier on when he said the performances don't add up to the sum of our parts. You look at that squad and, you know, the individual players look good, but it's just not clicking. Why is that from what you've seen?
It's difficult. I think, obviously, putting myself in JB's shoes, if I was in his shoes at the moment, I think it's been a short space of time. The only criticism I would have on Joby is that he has been playing in that system. He's known the system that he's playing. I see a lot of people saying about change. I certainly would have changed formation. Personally, I would have gone 4-4-2. I've heard a lot of people saying you can't play it with certain players. Well, I've seen Connor Wilkinson play on the right. I would push Brophy left midfield. And I certainly would be playing DJ up front. To be on the bench was a shock. I think Tristan and himself both look isolated up there at the moment, but I certainly think they would benefit with them together. I think the central midfield, we need to start playing balls forward. I see a lot of side, backward passes. You need to be more creative because, like we say, we've not had many clear-cut chances in front of goal. So we need to be a bit more off the cuff, so to speak, play with probably a bit more freedom. And yeah, someone in there to, you know, you do run the risk of obviously giving away the ball, but you need someone to try and unlock a defence. I think it's very easy in the way they're playing. I don't see much creativity. Like I said, I think if you were to go 4-4-2, you could simplify it by getting the ball out wide and getting balls in the box with your centre midfielders backing that up. You know, I think that's what I would do. That would be my honest opinion. I think Joby's great. I've obviously played with Joby. He knows the game inside out. and he speaks very well. But obviously, on the fan side, you don't want to see, you know, talks cheap. You know, you want to see it on the pitch. You want to see results. So, you know, as much as Joby's very, I think he could possibly go on and do really well. I just think I'm surprised that he hasn't changed it. If I was a betting man, I think Saturday, I think there'd be two up front. You know, I think it's crying out for that now. Mm-hmm. So it'd be very interesting to see what he does this week in training. He's got a full week with the boys. So, again, no excuses really there. Get him in every day and drill into them exactly what he wants on the pitch. So looking forward to Saturday's game, to be honest.
Aidy, when you're from a management perspective, obviously, you know, you've managed, you've been assistant manager, you know, you've done it all. How long does it take to implement a new system? And the reason I ask is, obviously, Joby's had 3 games in 12 days. Has he had enough time on the training ground to implement a new system? Or should every footballer just be able to play 4-4-2 because, you know, that's the bog standard formation when you're a kid?
I think it's interesting. Dean just spoke about passing the ball forward. That's something you're not allowed to do nowadays, is it? Because it's classed as a long ball game. You know, so has there been a big reaction since Ross has left to start with? And you can talk about being on the training field, seeing the games. Really, there were two similar games last week, Scunthorpe and Stevenage. I'm not just saying it because Dean's on there, but apart from probably Brophy, I've seen a little bit of Connor Wilkinson. He looks like he can drive at a player. I was looking at the boy list last Tuesday night and I was like, oh, he's a danger. Because first and foremost, the first thing that he thought about when he got the ball was driving at Orient's back four. Mm. I don't see that, you know. And probably, I know Joby hasn't got the legs to do it, but he's got the quality to do it with his feet. But A, he's obviously taken himself out of it because obviously he's now the manager. But I think it's just crying out for, Dean said it as well, I was like, listen, so I was thinking, he's saying exactly what I'm thinking and what I thought about even before I came on the show tonight, in that, you know, both goals from the weekend, I mean, one was from a set play and the other was from another cross in the box. That's where goals are scored from, you know,
Getting
crosses in the box. And I had an old manager that used to turn around and say, supporters don't want to see it just tippy-tapping around. They want to see the ball going in the box. They want to see shots going on target. They want to see chances. And, all right, it wasn't from open play, but, you know, Kemp's first corner hits the crossbar, you know, and then he puts a great ball in the box. And every time then afterwards, I thought, hold on a minute, there's someone there that can take a set play that can put the ball in the box that's going to cause the opposition problems. And it happened. You know, the way that I'd look at it is, you know, post-Ross is really, the players have got a free go at it. You know, I know there was talk of the playoffs. In actual fact, I listened to an interview today that Ross actually did, and he said possibly they got into the playoff positions too early because of they didn't really think that they were going to really get that far this season. You know, they were talking about mid-table.
Do you think that was a mistake by Travis saying that they were going for the playoffs? Do you think it put too much pressure on?
I think you always have to say it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. I think you have to turn around and have the ambition of, you know, we're going to keep on pushing forward. And I'm sure probably for Joby as well, that was his ambition. I think we can all see now that has gone, really, let's be honest. But, you know, there's a number of players out of contract at the end of the season. You think again, well, come and then show me something so that, you know, I get a new contract or the scouts can see the games and go, well, hold on a minute, if he's not going to sign there, we're going to take him. And, you know, like Dean said, it'll be interesting after a 4 weeks training, A, the shape of the team, and if then we can see a notice in the difference of, oh, he's had a 4 weeks training, we can see a difference from the 3 previous games. I know we won at Grimsby, but I don't think Grimsby are pulling up any trees at the moment, let's be honest either, you know. So, you know, it was a great start for him, and you think, well, go on then, kick on. And, you know, go and make the job your own and tie it up for next season. And then, obviously, like you say, he can, you know, have his own opinion on players, contracts, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it is a full week for Joby to stamp his authority on that squad. And it'll be an interesting game on Saturday.
Christian, are there any positives from Saturday's game? anything that we think that can drag out. I mean, Joby made substitutes earlier. He made them in the 56th minute rather than wait until later. Is that a positive? Is he learning, or am I clutching at straws?
I think you're clutching. I think, to be fair, Dean and Adrian hit the nail on the head. I think for me, it's just a massive lack of identity for me. Obviously, you could tell the first two games he tried to change it up. They went more direct. I'd say Grimsby, they got away with it. Exeter, they didn't. Grimsby are awful. There's only one way they're going. So, you know, they more or less boomed it against them two teams. I think they realised, obviously, Grimsby, they got away with it. We could have walked away with 1 point, you know, maybe even none. They had a couple of late chances, but I think they realised that it didn't work booming it. So they've realised the last two games that they've got to go back to passing it. But as Dean said, there's passing it for passing's sake, and then, you know, actually doing something with a bit of progression. You know, Adrian's far more qualified to talk to it about than me, but as a defender or even a defensive midfielder, if everything's in front of you, you're so happy. You can sit in your roles. You haven't got to worry about third man runners going in behind. Everything's in front of you. And that's all we're doing. You know, it comes out from the back, it goes back in, it's set back to a centre-half, plays it into Cisse. He don't take it on the back foot. His body position's poor. So he plays it back to a full-back and we just carry on like that. You know, I've heard loads of people saying, oh, teams are coming to Brisbane Road and they're sitting in. They're not sitting in. We're just giving them the opportunity to sit there because we're not actually, you know, we're not actually playing forward. You know, people will go on and say, oh, Justin's a great manager. You know, Dean played in a great team for Slade. You know, that was mixed up. You know, it did go into a fullback. It was dropped in behind. We did get on the second ball. We did play an air off. I just think we're lacking a lack of identity. I don't know whether they want to pass or they can't decide whether to go forward. And yeah, so lastly, as I say, going to Dean's point, we've dropped our top goal scorer for basically not getting in the ball. For me, he's the only one that's going to win us games. So say if he played in a team that was creating lots and lots of chances, you know, he'd have 30 goals. But, you know, we're expecting he's a Division 2 centre forward, so he might need 3 or 4 chances to score. You know, with us, he gets 1 or 2 every game, and we're expecting him to score those to even give us a chance. You know, you can't drop someone for not getting them the ball. And then, you know, as Dean said, also if you're playing Abrahams up there in a way in exactly the same system, you know, he's seen from the last two games exactly the same things happen to him. You know, you either need to change the system, or you need to play two up there, or you need to think about doing something else, because you know, a lot of people criticise Ross for, you know, playing a formation, you know, playing 4-3-3, playing too many passes, you know, not making subs, not playing Hector instead of Cisse, loads of other things. But as I say, for me, nothing's changed. You know, you're still playing 4-3-3. Your goal scorer, perceived goal scorer, is still isolated. You know, I'd say after that, Wilkinson's the biggest threat. You know, Wilkinson, I'd say in the last 5-6 games has been pretty anonymous, and I suppose every scouting report would be stick one on him early and double up on him. And as you can see, most teams are doubling up on him, which cuts the supply line. And, you know, I'd say apart from maybe the last game and a half, you know, Kemp's for me struggled a little bit. I think he's shown glimpses, but consistently, I think in the last game and a half, he's been better. But you know, to Dean's point, we're not playing any forward passes. I don't get how you're gonna. For me, we're always going to concede. So my mindset would be, well, you know, if we're going to commit a rick at one end, you know, we've got to try and at least score. We've got to at least try and, you know, threaten the other end. And there's so many decisions at the minute that are just baffling. As I say, so many decisions that Ross copped a lot of flack for. But to me, you know, if Joby is, you know, and again, to Dean's point, I think Joby speaks brilliantly. I was one of them, you know, when the bad news about Justin, I said, you know, I didn't know whether Ross wanted to be a manager then. I said, Joby should get it.
Okay, well, let's hear from Joby McAnuff and see what he had to say post-match.
Well, Joby, thanks for joining us. You kept to the same starting 11. You got a very similar result with a back-to-back home draws now.
Yeah, but today felt a bit different for me. I think coming off the back of Exeter, I think particularly first half, the other night we actually played the ball well and got in some positions without creating too many opportunities. Today we really missed a trick, in my opinion. You know, first half we just didn't have enough conviction in our play. I think we were a little bit too slow at times. We definitely didn't put them under enough pressure. You know, I think the goal pretty much summed that up. You know, really passive in terms of our defending. And then we've got an uphill battle from there, obviously get ourselves back in the game, and I felt like we could go and kick on, but it just never happened really. So really, really disappointed with today.
After the Exeter game, you were looking for sort of big points you were talking about from these home matches.
Yeah, again, that's, you know, when you look at the way the fixtures have gone, you know, with those two away games, you know, it can be difficult at times, but coming here home where we have got a good record, we certainly looked at this as two opportunities to get some big points on the board. Clearly that hasn't materialised, and, you know, for me, that's why, you know, certainly points dropped.
Can you understand the supporters' frustration, possibly confusion, that the sides seem to be quite conservative in their approach at the moment, very cautious?
Yeah, because it's certainly not what we're being we're instructing the lads. You know, clearly from our point of view, we know we need to move the ball faster. It's things that we talk about, things that we're trying to work on. We know we need to get more shots. We know we need to get more crosses. These are all things that clearly we're aware of and we're trying to get across, you know, and then obviously we go out there and it clearly doesn't materialise. So, you know, it's frustrating for everybody at the end of the day. At this moment in time, you know, it's up to me to come up with those answers and get us playing with a bit more of a tempo and making sure, particularly, you know, here in the last couple of games, you know, we're certainly testing teams more than we have done these last couple of days.
When you were appointed, it was the chairman, Nigel Travis, was saying that we're going to go for the playoffs. Is that beyond reach now?
Well, I think the more we drop points, clearly it's getting harder by the game because we're not picking enough points. You know, it was always a challenge that we set ourselves when certainly I came in, because I thought it was realistic. And at the end of the day, we still have to strive for something. You know, I've said in there, you know, I don't want us limping along towards the end of the season. You know, that does nobody any good. And for me, we're better than what we've been showing. You know, ultimately, we have to show that in our performances. We can't assume we are or expect that we are. Again, for me, two teams this week that, if you have to ask me if we're better teams, then I would say yes, but we haven't actually gone out and showed that on the football pitch. And again, that's the biggest disappointment for me.
Is this an important week coming up for you, because it's the first week that you'll have complete on the training ground?
Yeah, listen, again, I think anyone who knows me knows I'm not someone to stand here and make excuses. At the same time, is it something that hasn't helped? Of course, you know, we haven't had much prep time. Maybe the few little tweaks that we want to get into the team and make a few changes, you know, we haven't quite been able to get them into the team, clearly, because the performances and the results haven't necessarily shown that. So we'll have a bit more time. Again, it's always a balancing act. And again, you know, I said to the boys in there, it's not about letting them off the hook, because it's not. We knew we weren't good enough today. It's been a big, big run of games, you know, with the travelling. You know, the squad has been stretched. One of our biggest assets was that strength that we had. Clearly, you know, we've been working with limited numbers recently, and it's just a chance for everybody to probably have a little bit of a reset, recover where we need to, but make sure we do the work that we're going to need to put in better performances than that, because again, for me, there's a level and an expectation when you play for this football club, and at the moment we're not reaching it.
Are you thinking about changing the formation, maybe pushing James Brophy further forward, maybe creating more openings? I think it's only the four goals now in 12 games.
Yeah, we're always looking at ways to try and be a bit more productive, particularly in that attacking third. If I've got to be honest, I think in that area the players that we have got clearly are not quite playing with the confidence that they were earlier in the season. So again, that's something we need to try and work on. I know there's a lot of questions, you know, about where we play Brophs. For us, he gives us a greater control, certainly from left back on the ball, and enable us to build, which is important. So there's always a balancing act. Of course, we want to get let's high up the pitch and get our players in areas that, you know, are going to go and create chances. And clearly that's something we have to have a look at. Unfortunately for us, he's suspended for 2 games now. So that's something we're going to have to obviously bear in mind the next couple of games.
How much is that starting 11 missing you in midfield, Joby?
Again, I think it's something that we knew was going to be something we had to work around, especially for the early part of it. I thought it was very important for me to try and go in and create an environment and a clear picture of what everyone's roles were. Again, with Brophy being suspended, you know, we've then got Hector going away for, you know, the week that we've got a couple of away games, or one in particular, Carlisle. So clearly for me, I've been making sure I've kept myself ticking over. And again, as I've always said, if I am needed, then, you know, I'm here to be selected, you know, and I think that's something, again, that we'll certainly look at moving forward.
What is the news on those absentees, the likes of Louis Dennis, Josh Coulson, Rosa Turio, and we know Leanne Gold probably isn't going to see again this season?
Yeah, like all the boys, I think that's been the biggest blow, really. They're all long-termers, really. You know, Coulson is back running. So I'm hoping he's not going to be a million miles off. For me, it's those attacking areas where we've missed those lads. Again, defensively, on the whole, we've been okay. But we know that it's those front areas that have really been the issue for us recently. And when you look at the lads that we haven't got to draw upon, even potentially to bring on, you know, in the last 20, 30, whatever it is, we just don't quite have those options at the minute. So I think Louis, again, you know, we're hopeful he can get back on the training pitch at some point next week. How ready he's going to be, we don't know. Ruel is still going to be a little bit longer. And again, we have to work with the group that we've got, and that's a demand, that's something I place on myself. I've got a group of players that for me are underperforming and underachieving, and I have to look at ways of turning that around.
And how do you start doing that process, Joby?
Well, it's work, it's hard work, it's looking at why we're not creating opportunities, why we're not getting shots on target. And there are things that we have looked at, Dave, believe me. You know, there's not been many hours gone by that we haven't been watching training back and analysing opponents, analysing our own games. So, listen, the work is going in. Sometimes, again, it is frustrating because you feel as though you're making a little bit of progress or things are starting to click, whether it be on the training ground, whether it be, you know, through conversations with players. And then we go out, and again, my biggest disappointment was the level of performance today that, again, you know, I'll never come out here and say we were better than we were or we've played really well when we haven't. You know, I think it's important that the players have that honesty first and foremost, and I've been honest with them. But also, we're not trying to kid anyone else in terms of around here that, you know, that wasn't good enough, and that's certainly something that we're all front up and take on a chin.
So that's Joby McEnough there. Christian, I'm going to come back to you because you were talking before. Do we give Joby the job now, or is it a chance to look somewhere else, do we think?
For me, now's the time to have a complete clear out. I would completely clear the decks, because to me, it's just what's changed has not had a positive effect, and I just think there's too many things at the moment that just don't add up, and it'd be the perfect time to clear the decks and start again.
Christian, right, do you think everyone's become a little bit comfortable and familiar with each other?
100%. Like, you know, we all do. We all read social media. Like, I'm on social media. We all are. I'm sure. You know, I'd like to think Danny and Nicky Cowley are quite good friends of mine, and you see their names bandied about. But, you know, if you was offered the job, or, you know, you're a lot more qualified than me, or I was offered the job, or, you know, Dean wants to be a manager, Dean's offered the job, who in their right mind really is going to want to work with a director of football in Division 2? I personally can understand why they do it. I've the last 8 years, I've worked for fintechs in the US, and communication can be hard. You've got different time zones, you know, different diaries, whatever it may be. Then change Lingy's role to, I don't know, operations manager, and or change it to say else, or give him half of Macklin's role as a CEO and split that up.
But I think it was I think at the time right back at the start, Christian, I think it was all probably the right role at the right time, wasn't it, with where the football club was?
Correct. But who in their right mind in Division 2 you know, are you going to tell me that Danny and Nicky Cowley are going to want to go to a Division Two club and report to a director of football and not have control over everything?
There's not many teams in the League One or Two that have directors of football, is there?
I just can't see it. I can see, and I totally understand from a business perspective. I work in finance, work with American companies. I get the fact that they need someone to manage their operations on a day-to-day basis. I totally get that. It makes sense. Even from a time zone perspective on the West Coast to London, I get that. But I'm just not sure at that level. Is that not funds that could pay for a centre midfielder? Or is that not interference that you or Dean or I or a much better manager than all of us is going to put up with? I just think now's the time to just sweep it all clear. I don't care what anyone says, playoffs is gone. That's never going to happen in a million years. So now's the time. Play the players that have got contracts next year. Get the young kid back off loan from Aldershot. He's got to play. Hector's got to play. Get all the people that they talk about in the green zone that they've offered contracts to, whether they're going to take them or not, they've got to play. You know, Dean said about progressive football. You've got to try and be a little bit progressive. You know, if for instance, I don't know, James Dayton, for instance, he's not getting a contract this year, I'd presume that he would be in the red zone. Why are they bringing him on with 10 minutes to go in a game we've got to try and take some points for? Nothing at the minute to me makes sense. I just don't understand it. I just think
it's... At this level now, let's be honest, if you don't win games, you don't stay in a job, you know? No. So, and always remember back when someone asked me when I was going for a job at a football club, they said, oh, what type of football do you play? And I thought about it and I looked at him and I said, well, I only know one type, and that's winning football matches, because that's the ultimate thing that is going to keep me in a job. And, you know, that will be the defining thing for Joby, won't it? Let's be honest.
Of course it will. But if you look at Dean's team, right, I'm at my era. I'm sorry, Adrian, your era was probably, I can't remember that far. I
could just too old.
What I had for dinner. But Dean's team would probably be the one that people of my age or younger or even a little bit older will say that's their favourite team of the last however so years. Me the same. But it had an identity. It had a great team spirit about it. I would call Dean someone as a winger that tucked in and joined in and went and played and come off the line. And I'd say Moses, it was a bit of a flyer, the other side. If you had to drop it in behind, he'd get in behind and then could set it back and someone wrap it in the box. To me, I look at that team and think, you got Kemp one side and Wilkinson the other. Both of them want to join in. We've got not, you know, both of them want to come off the line and join in. You haven't got anyone that's, you know, I think Danny Johnson does a better job running the line, but he's not going to be someone, you know, if you're playing in the back, Adrian, you're not worried about him going in behind.
No.
You haven't got, you know, I can't. Worst thing Hector did was get sent off because he was having a storming game that day. And even he got sent off by doing it the right thing. He took it on the back foot. He tried to go out the other way. He got away from him and he got sent off. But to Dee's point, at least, you know, if it come into James or someone or whatever, it might come into him from a fullback and he'd turn it around the corner and you know, someone would get on that second ball. And there was an identity to it. Now I look at us and I just don't know. As I say, if I set my team up against Orion at the minute, you know, you would try and bully Kemp. You would double up on Wilkinson and try and stick one in him early. You got Danny Johnson, you know, if you've got two centre-halves, you can tell one centre-half to get as tight as you like and try and kick lumps out of him, because the other one knows he's on a freebie to get in behind. Are the midfielders going to get a ball and hurt anyone? No.
Well, do you know what? You know, with the six of us on here now, and we've watched the games recently and over the course of the season, if you were at the stadium watching the game, would you be on the edge of your seats?
No.
I don't think so. And no. At the moment, when you're at home, are you shouting at the tellies, go on in, and you're not?
Do you know, Jack, I can't remember last time I saw an Orient striker running onto the ball. I can't remember last time we kind of got in behind them with a through ball, a through pass. It's all very much like you said, we're playing in front of them. I think that's what's got to change. You know, we're not getting in behind, we're not mixing it up, we're not putting passes in between the centre backs. Can you remember last time we had a, apart from if one of the other team, the opposition, made a mistake? I think Danny Johnson got in one-on-one against Stevenage through a mistake. Other than that, I can't remember the last time we were running at the opposition.
Dean, do you think we have left ourselves short? See, we've let JMD go to Crawley. Do we think that, you know, we've been unfortunate with injuries in so much that Sotiriou's got injured and Leanne Goles got injured. But now we find ourselves in a position where, there, I know that Usise gets a lot of stick and he had a terrible game on Saturday and he gave away the ball so many times. But there was one point in the middle of the first half where he had the ball and there were four players in front of him and not a single one of them moved. And he looked and he waited and he delayed and he waited and eventually he gave the ball away. But no one moved to make a positive run either way. You know, you had Freeman and Kemp in each other's pockets and you had Wilkinson just sort of tucked inside the other way and Danny Johnson being marked by two centre-halves. Is it to do with the players that we've got or is it to do with the formation or why are we not exciting to watch?
Yeah, I think I'll go along with Christian very heavily with, an ethos and the way of playing, especially going by our team. We knew if James or Vince Lott got on the ball, I would go inside. Moses would keep the width. David Mooney would then drop in short. I think you're giving the opposition things to worry about. If I went inside, the right fullback would follow me in. If he followed me in, the ball would then go to the fullback overlapping. I think if it doesn't come to me, you know, you've got Dave Mooney in the pocket. He gets on the half turn. He's got Moses Odebeju. We try to isolate 1v1. And King Kev, we used to just say, listen, stay in the 8 in the aisle box, mate. We'd get the ball into you. And 9 times out of 10, when we did, he'd score a goal. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is so predictable what we're going to do. People just standing there waiting for things to happen rather than making them happen. I think, you know, Ross was obviously in the job a bit longer, would obviously have to take more flack than what Joby for the time being. I think obviously time will tell with that. But listen, I'm a big believer of the players. You know, if I wasn't getting a ball for a large spell of time, you know, I'd be thinking, well, I'm just going to go and get on the ball. I'm not really concerned about what I'm just going to go and try and influence the game. I think it's very safe the way some of the boys play. It's very easy to stand next to a right back. Oh, I'm not getting the ball. Oh, I can't get in the game. Well, you can, mate. Get yourself inside. Make a run in behind. Take him away. Come short. Get on the half turn. You know, get your head up. That's why I feel with the two up front, I think you give their defence, whoever you're playing, a bit more to worry about. I think it's too easy at the moment. We're very predictable. And like Barry said, I don't think I've seen a ball over the top where someone's made a great run. And it's just, like we said, all in front of people, it's very easy. But again, it's very easy to say, I think, listen, Joby's, you know, if you said to Joby, do you think the team's good enough? I don't think it's good enough. I think there'd be a massive overhaul. If it was me, you need a new injection of enthusiasm. I think it just looks quite flat at the moment. Bearing in mind, I get the crowd. I take that on the chin, you know, when you've played in that, it is different. But I don't think it's an excuse for professional football. You know, the boys need to be up for it. And like I said, the identity, that takes time. But you know, Joby, at the moment, going back to getting results, you do whatever it takes to get results. If it means kicking long and second balls and whatnot, and it's not going to be pretty, then so be it. You know, that is what it is. But, I think in the long term, it needs a philosophy. It needs a way of playing. You need to recruit players that are going to implement what you want to do. And, you know, along with what Christian said, you know, if Leighton Orient want a really, really experienced manager, I don't think they're going to want a director of football. And that's not anything against Martin personally at all. Really like him. Think he's a top bloke. But I don't think you'll get an experienced man that will want to do that. They will want to come in and have their own ideas and want to bring in the players that they want to bring in. But on the other hand, Martin done a fantastic job when the club was on the floor. You know, it needed someone. I think there's about 4 or 5 players when he took the job and sorting out pre-season and that. But I do think the managers along the way have been wrong. But at the moment, I think Joby just needs to get winning football matches and playing whatever formation it takes to do that, just to win football matches. I think the thing that winds me up as well is the case that it's an interim manager. So I think someone mentioned, you know, about players worrying about contract. I think if I was, you know, waiting to sign a contract. I'm not going to sign that contract until I know who is going to be at the club long term. So who makes that decision? Do we wait to the end of the season and then Martin makes that decision? Will he then turn around and say, Joby, you're not getting the job? Someone else, another manager comes in and then he's got players that perhaps he won't need. I think Joby needs to get results and then they need to give him it longer term, or they need to say to Joby, look, mate, we're going to go a different route and then just go from there, really, you know?
That's one thing I was going to bring up. I think that's really important. At what point do the board need to make a decision? I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think the interim manager title is helping Joby in any way, shape or form. And I think if you're going to give him the role now. And if you're not going to give him the role, then make a clear decision and appoint someone else. Because at the moment, we've got 4 or 5 players left in contract at the end of the season. And as you say, you're not going to attract players to the club if they're not going to know who they're playing for. So the board need to be decisive now. And I think Travis and Teague are one of the best things that's happened to the Orient for a long time. But I do think that right now, not their backs are up against it at the end of the day, because, you know, the club is financially stable and what have you. But this is a really, really important appointment now. Aidy, how would you go about it? What would you do at this particular point?
Well, if you're going in now, I mean, obviously this is what Joby's got now, and you're looking for a response from the players. I mean, if you're going in at the end of the season, you're doing your homework and looking at the players that are there. But like Dean said, you know, the players that Martin might want to retain aren't the same as what you want to retain, so you're going to clash straight away.
Is it too late to go in at the end of the season then?
No, I don't think it's too late. I think because basically, you know, there's another, probably 100 managers out there looking at the Orient job if things didn't work out for Joby, and they're doing their due diligence now. And that's players that are there, and that's players that they feel that they can get. You know, identity is a very, very key word, you know, and I know, obviously, Joby is, you know, one hell of a player. Has he got enough time to get his identity with that group of players? I think that's probably tough because, you know, he may have a way of wanting to play that is his identity, but he hasn't got those players to hand. So, you know, you read on social media about changing systems. Maybe he feels that he hasn't got the players to change the system. But what I do know is, looking at the games that have gone on, you know, in recent weeks, you know, the boy Abrahams, you know, Danny Johnson, Connor Wilkinson, they're big boys. And in that division, when you put on the, you know, as we're all watching at the moment, EFL on Saturday evening, it's not rocket science. You know, when you look at how teams play, you look at Cheltenham, you know, and how close they went to beating Man City. Man City didn't like it when they went there because they got the ball in the box. They threw the ball in the box. And people will turn around and say, oh, yeah, well, that's old school. Well, it's not a fashion statement, you know, at the moment in time. And that's the trouble. Football has become a fashion because everybody says, oh, we must play out from the back. No disrespect at League One, League Two level and Conference level. You probably haven't got the players to do it because some of the players at the top, Arsenal, they can't do it either. And you get punished, you know. And like Christian said, the difference may be at the lower level, if you give the ball away, you may not get as punished. But I think it is. I think it's very key what Dean said. And Christian, the manager is the identity of the football players that go on the pitch for him. That does take a little bit of time. So what I would say is, no, it's not a problem of someone going in at the end of the season. And God bless, hopefully, Joby gets the job. You know, good luck to him. But if someone comes in, they've got a whole summer to recruit, to get their players, and a whole pre-season, which hasn't happened this year, to turn around and get their thoughts and process of how they want to play. And, you know, maybe even then be a bit cute of, yeah, 1 week we're going to play 4-4-2, but we know that we can play 3-5-2 because we're coming up against opposition that play this way and this is how we can hurt them. And we're going away from home. We're going to put everyone behind the ball like everyone else does and play on the counter-attack. But I don't think at the moment Orient have got that type of player. They haven't got, I'm just going to say it, they haven't got a Dean Cox for me. You know, they haven't got a player that wants to get on the half turn, turn and run and drive at people and slip players in and put balls in behind. And that's exactly what you said. What would I not want to do? I don't want to run back to my own goal. If I'm running back to my own goal, I'm facing the wrong way. And if I'm running back to my own goal, I'm giving away throw-ins and corners to the opposition. That's going to cause a problem because in this league, the ball goes in the box. So everyone says when Orient got promoted that, you know, there's a different level. Yeah, there is. Christian nailed it earlier on. The higher you go, you might need one or two chances. So that would definitely come into it. But you look at the games on a Saturday night, a Tuesday night, as of tonight, the league hasn't changed. It's the same. Teams, you know, 6 foot one, 6 foot two. But you'd like to see people with pace, people driving at fullbacks, you know, putting them on their backside and getting balls in the box. Because that excites spectators. And that would excite a centre-forward knowing that, I know what he's going to do here. He's going to run at him. He's going to put the ball in the box. He's going to run at him. And they keep on doing it. And after a while, the opposition players will go, I've had enough of this. I can't do this no more. So it can work both ways, Billy. You know, yes, you know, someone could go in at the end of the season and have a complete clear out. But then, like Dean said, a probably higher established manager that's been in the game, you know, like the Cowley brothers, they know it all. They know it all. But then whose identity is it? Is it the director of football identity of the team, or is it the managers or the head coaches? So I think it does need to be cleared up.
Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. So just quickly, I'm going to throw this out to you. What do you do on Saturday? And here's the problem. Brophy's suspended for 2 games. Hector Kyprianou's been called up for Cyprus, so he's not available. And Tristan Abrahams can't play against his parent club. So you've got about 30 seconds each. What do you do? Christian, 30 seconds. We'll start with you. Let us know. What do you do?
4-4-2, Wilkinson off DJ, play Kemp wide, Clay in the middle with someone. Just play 4-4-2. Adrian and Dean hit the nail on the head. You know, League Two, no one's got a problem with the system or the players until you're losing. No one had a problem with 4-3-3 until they're losing. So change it, stick with it, and get it in the box, get on that second ball, and keep it in there half.
Dean, what's your team? What you doing?
Exactly that. Short and sweet. Get the ball, get it wide, get it in the box, back it up. And I'd like to see a bit more intensity. Get at them, especially at home. Get some tackles in. Get right at them.
Just don't overcomplicate it. You know, the bottom line is go out and play. You're playing at a fantastic stadium. I think they're playing at Cardiff at the weekend, not at their stadium. And the surface is going to be great. Go out and play with a purpose, and go out and enjoy it. You know, you can turn around and coach the hind legs off of it. Players get bored of that. Have a nice little bit of five-a-side, a keep ball, a little bit of intensity, and play with a smile on your face and just go for it.
Darren, come across you.
Jamie back in. Ask Wilkinson to do a job as an out-and-out forward. We know he don't want to play there, but he's an employee of the club. Yeah, and he needs to be told that, frankly. So put him back in. Wooderson in, Brophy on the left, and 4-4-2 with that.
Brophy can't play. He's suspended, mate.
Sorry, not Brophy on the left. And for me, give Freeman a rest because he ain't done anything so far.
Can we have Coxie on the left? Is that an option? I'm available. League's finished.
Last time we played at Cardiff, it didn't go so well, chaps, did it? But in the Cardiff Stadium, as I remember, I was there.
Yeah, don't
anyway,
bring
that up. I would go 3-5-2, yeah? I would go Woodson, Happy, and Turley at the back. And play wing backs, 3 in the centre, 2 up top.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Darren. I hope you all have a good evening and take care. Keep safe, everybody. And we'll see you back at Brisbane Road soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
It ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. There's flats in every corner of the ground. You can get your kids in just £5. Get an orienteer. It's only a quid. Get a cup of tea, but there ain't no lids, 'cause it's an up to pop. Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10.